This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Does the evening news sometimes make you so upset you just want to turn it off? Well, Jesus' disciples also felt that way about the many problems people brought to Jesus. So, in today's program, we'll discover how the Lord dealt with the situation. Please stay with us.
Jesus looks at our world. What does he see? How does he respond? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that once again we can hear that tremendous message of the gospel. That you have come into this world, and you are the one who seeks to redeem us and to bring us into relationship with you. But when you look at all of those countless millions of people who do not have that personal relationship, we know that it is your desire to reach into their hearts also. So grant that where they hear your word today, the Holy Spirit may be at work, and hearts may be open to see what life can be like when you're related to Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take all my guilt away.
friends in Christ, when we see the world through the eyes of the media, what do we see? We see many things that are very, very sad. Killings, murders, sometimes even a mother killing a baby or whatever else it might be. Stealing, right out stealing, where you go into a place and point your gun and have them turn over the money. But also stealing that somebody doesn't come up with until it's many, many years later. And there, through some audit, they reveal that this millions of dollars have been stolen, and these people have been in high positions, both in industry, in business, and in the government. There's corruptions of all kinds. There appears to be, among the masses, very little spiritual understanding of what it is to know Jesus Christ as Lord. So you're sitting there in the living room of your home, and you've finally decided that's enough of that, and you turn to see if there's some athletic game on, or if nothing else, everyone loves Raymond. And after you've had that for a little bit, you give up, and you're ready to begin to read a book, which might have been better at the first place anyway. Today, our text gives us an understanding of how our Lord Jesus Christ views this world. And in many ways, it is much like the committed Christians. But in other ways, I think the committed Christian has a lot to learn from the Lord Jesus. So I speak to those of you who are wrestling with your faith about Christ, and those of you who are committed to Him, but are anxious to know how He might view this world differently than we do. Now remember, when I view the world through the eyes of the media, I'm ready to turn it off. It's corrupt. There's little hope for it. This is the viewpoint of an Orthodox Christian who believes that man is born sinful, and that will continue on till the very end. Here is our text for today. It comes from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place, and we'll get some rest." Now, in the text before this, Jesus had sent the disciples out to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was sort of an internship. It was a trial run. And he was trying to find out where he could help them to do a better job, and they were free to come with their questions to him. And as they were having this very, very important discussion, here came all of these people with their problems, and they rushed in upon them, and they didn't give them an opportunity to visit. And finally, Jesus says to these disciples, who were more irritated than ever, and they were tired and they were hungry, "Come on, we'll go to a quiet place. We'll get something to eat, and you can give me some of your experiences when you were on this mission for me." So they went by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a crowd, large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, You give them something to eat. They said to him, That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then if we had time to read the passage that follows, you remember that Jesus fed the 5,000 and there were 12 baskets of food that was left over. Now notice as you get into this passage of Scripture, Jesus' attitude. There's no question that he agrees with the Christians that the world is sick. He denounces these sins far more than we ever do, without a doubt, because he is holy, and he wants all of this done away with. The world is sick. Remember how he said to Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would love to have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. I come to you with a gospel that can change your life. You don't want to have anything to do with it. I sit and visit with you one-on-one personally, but there is no response. The world is sick. But in that broken world, there are many who have the potential of becoming great people of God through faith in Jesus Christ. If they will only turn their hearts over to me, Jesus says to the disciples in their quiet place, then you know what happened to you. I live within you. And while you are certainly not perfect people, and every so often I have to rebuke you, nevertheless, you are in my kingdom, and I love you. There he's describing the church per se. In other words, he says, like in the language of our day, you clean up pretty well, spiritually speaking. Let Jesus be a part of your life, and you will see a difference. There is no question about it. But in this passage of Scripture that I read to you, Mark says that Jesus does not condone what is going on, but he also wants to help them if he can. Here's the difference in the attitude. The disciples says, get rid of them. Send them home. Get them off so that they can have something to eat and we can sit and talk. But when Jesus talks back to them, he said, don't you see what they are? This world, and that doesn't matter if it's today or in the days that Jesus walked here, are like sheep without a shepherd. They are sheep without a shepherd. And if they don't have a shepherd, they don't have a leader, and so they get some false people who claim to be leaders, and they'll lead them all over into places that are not good for them to go. Jesus says to us Christians, we know what Christ has done for us. Now we are to go out and help this old world that we denounce because they need a shepherd. And the only shepherd that will do them any good is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see the difference? We are sometimes ready, as far as this world is concerned, to, as I've said before, write them off. And let's just have our own little cozy group who meets on Sunday morning and probably other times during the week, and we love the Lord Jesus and we're anxious to serve him and we want to have a nice church in our town and everything's going to be hunky-dory, as we say. But Jesus says, that's fine. Except there comes a time when you have got to go out into this depraved world and help them as if it's possible. Now, the first thing that you have to do with them, he says, is have a period of time where you can visit with them. Come to them. tell them how meaningful their lives could be if they would just turn to Christ, and that they do have a shepherd. And that shepherd loved them so much that he came into this world, that he suffered and died on a cross at Calvary, that they might have the forgiveness of their sin and the promise of life everlasting, if they would only believe in him. That's what he is challenging his church to do. He still loves these people, even though they are in the world and will have nothing to do with him. He still wants to be their shepherd. He hasn't quit on them. He's not ready to kick them out, as we say. He wants to walk with them that they might be his and be his forever. So we begin to teach them as agents of Jesus Christ. Just stop and think where the world goes in a given year, friend. Just stop and think that some of you will be going into the schoolrooms of our communities. And there you will have fellowship with teachers who are teaching in other grades or other subjects. And there you will have some fellowship, certainly, with your students, whether they're little ones in the second grade or their high school children, even college kids. What an opportunity you have, for they are a part of this old ugly world. And many of them have come from circumstances where they do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, I understand the rules of a school, but nobody can stop your talking outside of the school, nor do they want to. They can't silence your behavior. They can see that there is something in you that is a love for them, because Christ first loved you. In other words, if you are a Christian going into the schools of our land, you are a public witness to those people who do not know him. In other words, you see, friend, you just don't write off this world. You're working with them. Some of you are physicians, and you sit and visit with them after all the tests have been made. And you tell them, perhaps in some cases, there is nothing more that I can do for you, but there is an eternity that faces you. And then be able to tell them, you know, that when that last breath is breathed, then you have a home with God in heaven. And through the merits of Jesus Christ, you enter in. You have not earned it there, but it is a gift from him to you. So while you would like to stay here longer, we want to be realistic about this whole thing. We also know that when the last is over, whether we be in our 40s or in our 90s, God, in Jesus Christ, is going to take us home. See, it isn't just to condemn the people in this world. For we are a part of this world too, in a sense. God is still working with us. And God wants to continue to work with them until first they come to faith and then they begin to grow up. You are a part of the legal profession. There's a lot of things that you can do. You see people at the end of the road. The end of the road as far as their marriage is concerned, and they have come in to get the legal work done for the divorce. Back home, there are three or four kids, children who need a dad and a mom. And you say, well, it's easy enough for us to get the divorce, but I happen to be a Christian, and I can help you in some other ways if you're willing to listen. And maybe there, as you listen to their story, and you can unravel, perhaps a marriage started not as you asked it to start, to know, to find out if each one had a relationship with Jesus, or whether they were being equally yoked with unbelievers. You started without Christ. Now he wants to come into your life, your married life. And wouldn't it be something if after the legality of the thing is over and you can have your divorce, rather that same man or woman says, let me help you spiritually. I think I can. I see the light. God loves you. You're a part of his world. And while he's disturbed at the things that you do and that I do, he's always willing to forgive us, and he's always willing to take us home to heaven. That's how Jesus sees his world. It's different than I sometimes see it as a Christian. I get disgusted. I say, these people cannot be helped. They don't want to be helped. And so we kind of turn our backs and go to somebody else, as rightfully I imagine that we can, but never to forget them. Never to forget them. That's Jesus. Jesus says, look at the values you have. Don't you think that you need to change just a little bit? You're living for money. Oh, you belong to the church. You contribute to the church. But you go about so far and no further because you have to deal with the profits, the dollars and the cents. And sometimes that can become not too beneficial. Sometimes it can even be a little bit crooked. Stealing, legally stealing. And Jesus Christ comes to you and says, look, don't you have enough? And as a consecrated legal professional, tell them the story of Jesus if there is an opportunity that comes to you. For you see, this world is a broken world. And we have a right in the quiet hours of the evening to shut off our television and to read a good book, because the other is so terribly disturbing. But to remember this when you turn off the television, you're anxious to forget that world. But our Lord Jesus loves them so much, not what they do, but love them so much that he wants to continue to work through you to be a part in their life too. It's a marvelous picture. It's a marvelous text. Read it again. You'll never, never go wrong if you take Jesus with you along the way. Amen.
God is the Lieber, lass mich erlesen. God is the Lieber. Liebt auch mich. Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe, liebt auch mich. Ich lag in Banden der schnellen Sünder, ich lag in Banden und konnt nicht los. Drum sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe, Gott ist die Liebe. Sag ich noch einmal, Gott ist die Liebe.
Pray with me. Father in heaven, we pray that you will fill us with your redemptive love. Not a feeling that we can condone some of the things that are not right, for that you have not asked us to do, certainly you have taught us against it. There is an ethic. There is a right. There is a wrong. We know that. But Father, we pray that after we have expressed that right and that wrong, our hearts may be filled with love too, for you first again loved us. And then grant that that love may reach out to a world that has lost its way and needs to be brought back or brought into a relationship with you for the first time. Come, Lord Jesus, and make us your agents. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's gospel message will help you to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people you find in your daily life. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders depends upon the generosity of its listeners to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So please consider, if you're able to do so, a gift to help us in this mission. Some listeners have joined our GEM or Gift Every Month Club. They make a regular monthly gift of any amount. So if you'd like to become a GEM Club member, please give us a call at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Gifts may also be directed to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. All gifts are tax deductible. If you would like to receive a CD or printed copy of today's program, you can call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may wish to visit our website, christiancrusaders.org, where you can find many useful resources, including an audio and printed copy of today's program, a daily devotion, and other Bible helps. Our postal address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Thank you for joining us for worship this day, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next week on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders since 1962. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously for the past 76 years.